Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Former 24/7 champion, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Bear, I'm doing a show. Turkey, ducky, turkey, ducky.
That's great.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Welcome to ENN.
On TWE.
That's right. It is on TWE. And guess what?
What?
ENN Today. Who do you think it's brought to you by?
Who it's brought to you by every day.
Our friends at DoorDash. Am I right? Same people I'm going to be calling for dinner in about half hour.
Interesting. Where are you going?
Well, you know, Natalie decided to have dinner with her family tonight.
Oh, and you aren't invited. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. No, I was invited, but I have the radio program, and then tonight at 10 o'clock, this is just so Michael can make fun of me, tonight I have to work at 10 o'clock for a half hour doing Talking Smack for WWE. So I said, you should go spend time with your family. So what am I going to order? Maybe a sesame chicken?
Oh, that's what I'm doing
tonight. Oh, nice.
Maybe sushi? There's so many options. That's the thing about DoorDash. Download the DoorDash app now. Start exploring some of the best New York has to offer. DoorDash, get more from your neighborhood. I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Carbs are not my friend.
Good evening to Don. Don't cut me out already, man.
Well, you're never in.
And good evening to myself. Bengals, baby!
Very nasty the way you, like, underhandedly cheered when Tannenbaum picked the Rams.
So good for the show, though.
I think the only underhanded part is that we talked about him being a mush essentially before he got here. And then we just asked him for his pick, and when he gave it to us, no one said anything, even though we're all thinking, even though you guys are going,
goo. Well, you said something.
You said something. Yeah, we heard it.
Well, everybody heard it. I'm not embarrassed to tell him.
No,
that
and you shouldn't be.
But I thought you guys might say something like, oh, no. Unfortunately, you picked the same.
You said it.
But he didn't know what that meant.
Well, you know what? But all of our listeners did. That's why I said it was underhanded and mean.
Underhanded and mean? It wasn't underhanded. It was straightforward.
No, so we got to explain every joke. Come on. He could take it. He's a big boy.
Yeah, we could just tell him your picks have not been, they've been less than desirable.
Listen, he made them. He knows them.
Now, are you worried about it, Don, that you're now in lockstep with Tannenbaum this weekend?
I mean, he's due. You can look at it that way.
True.
You know, I had no dog in the fight on Sunday. Now I want the Rams to win so badly because I do not need you to say that you have a better record than me. I don't need it.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're the one who came up with the point
system.
Total.
I know. Yeah. So imagine if I never come up with the point system, there's a chance right here. It's just me versus Michael for the last game.
Mm. That's right.
We can always go back if you want.
I mean,
that's what I love about the show. Very fluid.
It is fluid. Yeah, I mean, Don borderline is distant in terms of the wins and losses.
No, he's the only reason he's even talking today because of his 3-point dominance.
That's something. It's not nothing.
No, it's not nothing. It's something. You know, you're confident in your one pick every week. In fact, it shows, Don, you'd be making money if you were just gambling that game every week. Think about the money you would have made this season. Let's. You guys want to start NBA fallout or Super Bowl? I'll leave it to you because this is a big. It's our last Football Friday.
Yeah, let's just do Super Bowl.
You want to start Super Bowl?
I want to do all Super Bowl. How about
you don't
that?
Even want to hear.
Vote. That's my vote.
That's your vote.
I think you've got to talk a little Harden.
I think we have to at least hear Kevin Durant on TNT last night, choosing Rudy Gobert over James Harden, who ended up being the last pick in the All-Star draft. Let's hear this from TNT.
I'm going to need some size for sure. Yeah. I'm going to need some size and some defense and interior.
Yeah.
Especially with Giannis and LeBron James
without
playing
question.
Such great basketball this year. I need somebody to offset that, so I'll go with Rudy Gobert.
I agree.
He hasn't played. Is he healthy?
Who's that?
James, he hasn't played.
He's missed.
What happens if he doesn't?
Oh, he got traded. He's healthy now.
He's missed the last three with a hammy. See, and now we know why LeBron carries a clipboard with him to the draft.
Hey, LeBron, oh my gosh, trust me right man. Now, he's rubbing some icy hot on that thing. He's playing the next game.
No questions.
I can't with y'all.
I mean, imagine Harden must – he should feel awful. Let's put it that way. He should be embarrassed. Should be embarrassed.
If the Sixers win, he won't be.
Talk about ill-gotten gains.
They won't win, by the way.
I still think that the Bucks are better, and I think if the Nets are healthy and Kyrie does play in all the games, I think the Nets are better. I want to see Sixers-Nets playoff series. I have to have it.
It would be, you know what? We'd have to go to a game, Michael.
I might be broadcasting baseball at that point, but.
You hope.
That's the way I'm rooting, Don.
No, I know. That's the only way you should root.
You guys, let's hear quickly from the ever diplomatic Sean Marks on why he traded Jim. I think with this,
there's a lot of those conversations that obviously have to remain private, as you would respect, and everybody understands it. And if James wants to allude to those decisions and speak for himself, obviously totally happy for him to do that. I think it's just a feeling. It's a feeling when you know, look, this is not working, whether it's on the court, off the court, you know, for a variety of different circumstances. Again, you know, I give James credit for being open, upfront, and honest. And again, like that's the way this organization has prided itself on. And it's not like neither team, neither side did not want this to work. It was more sense of like, look, this is the right time and it's the right thing to do is to move on now. And James has been up front from day one was, you know, the clock is ticking for him. He wants to win a championship and we do too. And if he feels like this was not the right place to win a championship and we felt like we could continue with our goals of being that last team standing, you know, by making a trade, that's why we made the deal.
Well, I'm not going to tell you guys, but what I do plan to do is leak it word for word to Ramona Shelburne and Woj, and they'll tell you in their story what happened. Because there's no way that James Harden admitted that he had lied to them and then finally in a FaceTime right before the deadline told them. So it had to come from somebody on the net side. They either heard it from Joe Tsai or Sean Marks. Is that fair? I don't think Harden's outing himself.
Yeah, I don't think so.
As a weasel.
But, you know, Marks has to take this road because that's how they got Harden in the first place. And they would have no problem getting another player who pulled the same thing. Simmons may have done the same thing.
Well, the only guy that the Nets got honorably is Kevin Durant. Kyrie Irving did the same thing in Boston, the exact same thing. Simmons did the same thing in Philadelphia. So you got two malcontents someplace else that playing for you. Kevin Durant played out his contract, won two championships with Golden State, and decided to come here. That was honorable. What LeBron James has done, going to Miami, then back to Cleveland, then to L.A., is honorable. He did it at the end of a contract. He never bagged a season or didn't want to play or got overweight. These guys should be ashamed of themselves.
You're not wrong. Lastly, let's hear Kyrie's reaction to the trade.
To be honest with you, and I think this is something that's not spoken about often in our industry or in our business. It's just, you know, you never really know what people are going through or what they're going to decide to do. And you got to sit back and respect their wishes. And, you know, that's what I do. And, you know, for James, we've had so much history in our day and age, even playing together or even just watching each other from afar. And it's a mutual respect. So I can't really say that you feel that in the locker room, so to say, but, you know, we get hints. You know, and we just wish him well, and we want him to be ultimately successful. And now we move forward with the guys that are coming in. We're excited.
Do they really wish him well?
You just wonder if these players even, like, why would Kyrie be upset about it? He did the same thing in Boston. So I'm not surprised that Kyrie's going to take that tact because he's done it before. Like you said, KD did it the right way. Became a free agent, went to Golden State, got killed for it still, but he waited till his contract was up. LeBron James, everywhere he went, came when his contract was up. But now guys can't wait that long.
Now, like, Peter,
like Harden,
you,
couldn't wait 2 months.
Do you hear, Peter, some Russell Wilson and Kyrie Irving? He's kind of like morphing into that kind of cool Russell talk.
I didn't hear any of the cool Russell talk.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Seattle. That. Play the beginning again, Anthony.
To be honest with you, and I think this is something that's not spoken.
To be honest with you.
Hey, Seattle.
Hey, Seattle.
Did you see Russell Wilson and his wife on the red carpet yesterday?
Let me guess. She looked great.
They both did. Handsome couple.
Yeah, there's no denying that. They're a good-looking couple. I mean, Russell Wilson's a big old nerd. But he's a he's well put together gentleman, no doubt about it.
He's just awkward,
very awkward. Speaking of the of well put together gentlemen, let's hear from Sean McVay saying he's learned a lot since his last trip to the Super Bowl.
I'll never run away from the fact that I didn't do a good enough job for our team, you know, within what I feel like, you know, my role and responsibility is to these guys. I don't think you press, you know, when you do get another opportunity to be in this moment, in this stage again. I think you look at it as a blessing. You take some of those learning lessons, you apply them, and let's go cut it loose and play to the best of our ability, and I'll coach to the best of my ability with our coaches as well.
You know, I mentioned earlier that, you know, he's being considered, if he wants to leave coaching as a broadcaster, get a lot of money, he would be John Gruden too. Without the emails.
You do realize if Marcel Marceau was an outstanding wide receiver back in the 70s, they would have offered him a job as an analyst.
Huh?
I'm with Peter. I'm tired of hearing it. Tired of it.
Joe Skihoang. Yeah, I don't hear it. Nothing I hear there makes me go, oh, my God, I need to hear that man on the microphone.
Yeah, tell you what, no, thank you. Really nice guy.
Sure. And obviously knows football. But
handsome.
Very handsome. But, I mean, they don't show people's faces that often when they're calling games.
They are going to be on K-Rod. You'll see our faces.
That's true. Let's go to Joe Burrow talking about what he wants to do to give his team the best chance to win.
Well, we'd like to start out fast, you know, when they have a really good pass rush. So when they know the team's dropping back and throwing the ball, you know, they can kind of tee off. So we want to get out to a strong start. But whatever the game calls for us to win, we're going to go out and do. If we get behind early, you know, we're not going to panic. So, you know, maybe a comeback is going to be necessary. But, you know, we'd like to jump out early and kind of control the game.
A lot of it's going to fall on Mixon. If he can run the ball well, then they can't pin their ears back and just rush.
Well, I think he'd probably be the hot receiver, right, a lot of times. Just, you know, dump it off to him if there's no time and see what he can do. And you saw that against Kansas City. I wouldn't even say he made people miss. He was just out running guys. Some of those runs, Peter, right, was just – you're waiting for him to get tackled. Nobody was, like, getting to him.
I believe, guys. I believe when I fall in love with you, it will be forever. You know what I'm saying? You do or don't know the melody?
I know it. It's in High Fidelity.
Oh, you said High Fidelity. I thought you said I know the melody.
No.
That's kind of loud and irritating.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
I think you guys are sleeping on my guys.
Who's that?
The Bengals.
Oh, stop already.
Bengals, baby! And it's going to be tough because we're going to be in a situation where we're getting to some fakakta tiebreaker that makes no sense.
Yeah, I still don't grasp it.
Oh, honestly, that's how it works. Can you shut your mouth?
I know I'm stupid. Listen, I know I'm flat out dumb. I get it. But it just seems something inherently unfair by the fact that they could it could go over and they still win. But I understand it because we can go over and we win. It's just it's stupid.
We can't go over and win. Why do you keep saying that? We cannot go over and win. The total could go over our number and win. But the number we pick cannot be over. So if 54 is a number we want over, we can't win.
But they can win if they go over. No, they can't.
It ends in a tie. So if it, would they take 51?
Yes.
If it's a 50-point total, they lose too.
But that's stupid.
If Rick was really on the ball, Peter, after we made the pick first, he just takes one.
Well, the fact is that we should be embarrassed. And honestly, since there's no sponsor attached to it, I just think we both just take the knee. We finish in a tie, and we agree never to do it again. Honestly, we couldn't get anybody to agree to come on. It was like Dave doesn't want to bother because he's always got something going on. Rick doesn't even make picks during his own show. Michael just made up a rule out of nowhere that whoever won the week before got to go first, which allowed them to go right back into it. Honestly, it was one of the most embarrassing things in the history of the show. I'm going to request, if not demand, that we never do it again.
Can I ask a question?
Please.
Simple question. Why did we go with the Price is Right rule? Because this is not the Price is Right.
I don't know.
It's not like every time when someone picks a number, if you go over it, you're always out. Yeah, that's a Price is Right rule.
But the way you pick, right? The way you pick point totals, it's called over under.
But we already
picked
over
or
under.
Michael,
we did that already.
We already did the over under.
So I would think it's got to be the closest to the score.
Right. That's the thing that made no sense. We already picked an over-under. So basically, for anyone who missed earlier, in our battle versus Rick and Dave, it's completely tied up going into the last game. Much to my chagrin, our show picked the Rams. Their show picked the Rams. Boom. So, second tiebreaker. We did over-under. We went over. They went over. Then we went to total score.
Right.
They went 51. We went 55. For some reason, we're saying there's a rule like the Price is Right that if you go over, you automatically lose, which would mean if the score is anything under 51, we both lose. It makes no sense.
But you know what? Here's how I want it to go. I want it to go like that Charger-Raider game at the end of the season. I want it to end in a tie. And I don't want to win. It was mishandled. We didn't even respect it for half the season because we're dominating. They had all day to figure out what their pick was going to be. We're making it in 30 seconds. And again, Michael just makes the rule. They go first because they won. Who said that? Where was that written down?
But you liked it when we were ahead like 9-4. So
Once they won a game,
then they kept winning.
But that's even stupid. So what? So we both lose. They get to go again because they won the week before?
Well, the week before, but
whatever it is, it was completely arbitrary.
The rule was supposed to be every other week the other show would go first. That was what was the plan. I don't know how we got here, but I'm very excited that it got to this point.
Guys, let's go over this week's NFL announcer lineup.
If you show me something, you'll give me radio, too.
We start out with the television broadcast. Al Michaels at the helm.
He did what?
He will be joined by the...
Wait, you got to say it's his last game ever for NBC.
You know, do we know that 1,000%?
I'd say 974%.
So in all likelihood, this will be the last NBC vehicle for Al Michaels, and next year we'd be hearing Mike Tirico and Collinsworth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's a guy...
That's right. Michaels will be joined by his compadre, Collinsworth. Now, in terms of Michaels' combos, going all the way back to the Deardorff days, through the Madden days, where do you rank the combo of him with Collinsworth?
Second. Madden first. He's Collinsworth second. Right, Don? And is third?
I think Michaels was at his best doing Monday Night Football with Deardorff and Gifford.
I agree. I'm with Don. I have him. That's the number one. I think the him and Madden thing was cool, but to me it always felt like a novelty. It was like very late Madden. I don't know. It never quite gelled to me. It was two icons together, but I think Don's right. The prime was that late 80s booth.
Yeah, and you got it in Jerry Maguire.
Of course, the great Michelle Tafoya will be on the sideline, which takes us to the
Wait a minute. Her last game ever.
That's right. She's going to
retire.
Yeah. She not retire. She wants to go into like opinion-based television, like The View.
Well, that's retired to me.
Oh, really?
Well, she's not doing sports anymore. I do watch The View, but I'm good.
I do watch The View. I might.
And Catherine Tappan, I believe, will take the role. And she'll also be on it. You didn't mention her, Peter.
She's terrific. We have the same agent.
Really?
Same agency, I should say.
Catherine Tappan will be on one sideline and Michelle Tafoya on the other. And it's assumed that Tappan will take over for Tafoya next year.
I love that they use the sideline thing for more people to work. But I will say it also annoys me simultaneously. Like every time. All year we don't have it, and then we get to the playoffs, and it's like everyone needs to get a job, so we have to split people on the sidelines. They only talk once a half. Let Tafoya do the whole game. It's your last one. And then Tappan takes over next year. We move on.
Wow.
Let's go to the radio call on Westwood One. None other than the great Kevin Harlan.
Put up your pants, my man. Pull up those pants.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. Ian Eagle's got to be on that call.
No, come on. I know you're anti-Harlan, but he does.
No, it's not being anti-Harlan. I think he's a little over the top.
Okay, he's a little over the top, but you will admit this. He does have big game voice.
No, he's great.
I think that Ian Eagle is doing the Japanese language broadcast.
Is that true?
Yes. He's.
Why isn't his name Ian Eagle?
He might be doing NFL International. I do watch The View. But I would take Ian Eagle in that spot. You give me a little Ian Eagle, Kurt Warner, I'm good.
Kevin Harlan will be joined by Kurt Warner.
Yeah, there you go.
And Laura Oakman on the sideline.
Okay.
Isn't also Mike Golic on the sideline?
I didn't have that in my notes. Golic also? Which Golic?
Mike Golic Sr.
The original.
Yeah. He's been doing Westwood One games. I think
he's on the sideline for the Super Bowl.
He does a terrific job, and I might be in the car at the beginning of that game. So
you might get some.
So they have both sidelines covered. I think they're bringing in two more reporters from each end zone.
And then you got to have Jay Feely come in. He's got to talk field goals. You got to have someone who analyzes the holders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
That's right. That's right. And also, guys,
we got to keep the music going, don't we?
It's over. Why's that?
Oh, it's over? Okay.
On this day.
Let me see if I can guess.
It's actually pretty easy, guys. 1990.
So that is 32 years ago.
The biggest sports event of 1990.
I hope I'm not embarrassing myself. Is it Tyson Douglas?
That's right.
Yeah, that's a great call.
Great job, Kaster.
Wow.
Buster Douglas knocks out Mike Tyson 123 into the 10th round of their fight.
Did you
Tokyo.
Cry that night, Peter?
I didn't cry that night. I was flabbergasted. I was shocked. I was like everybody else. I actually went to dinner at my parents' friend's house, the Meisters.
So you were not in Prague that day?
I was not in Prague. I was too young. I was only 11. And my brother watched the fight through the squiggly lines on the cable, but he was pushing the AB button.
Sure.
To watch it through the squiggly lines, and I came home, and he said he lost. He lost, and it was truly one of the great shocks of all time.
My friend John Stark predicted it. Tyson's going down tonight. I'm like, you're nuts.
Why don't you say all the other times that Stark predicted things that were wrong?
Rarely. Very rarely. He's a very smart guy.
By the way, that will do it for ENN on this Super Bowl Friday. Brought to you by our friends at Hennessy. Enjoy a delicious Hennessy NBA cocktail tonight while watching the game.
Do it.
Try Hennessy Playmaker, maybe the triple-double, both made with Hennessy VS. Hennessy.com for drink recipes. Hennessy is the official spirit of the NBA. Always enjoy Hennessy responsibly.
All right, stay tuned. We're going to draw the numbers for the NFC for the Super Bowl box pool. It was already the AFC has already been drawn, so we'll go from the first box to the last box. I've got the numbers in this hat, and I will draw them out when we get back right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.